All right, Kabbalah, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Tzadik Gimel 93. We are picking up at the two dots on the top of Tzadik Gimel. Hayoresh Somech. Thank you to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. Shabbos, we really have a very beautiful daf ahead of us today. Really incredibly interesting. It's actually, you're going to see, it's a very pleasant daf. Pleasant daf in that it flows, it's drushes, it's nice, it's psukim. A little maisa, a tiny little maisa at the end. Like a shtickle maisa, it's like a mice. It's like a, not even like a full maisa. So you'll see, but again, you'll see it's just one of those nice dapping that just rolls. I'll say our shiur today and our shiurim this month are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in commemoration of the yard sites of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henoch Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family in the Chama. So we'll say with that, let's begin. So the Mishnah has told us, Hayoresh Somech. So the Mishnah told us that ultimately, again, let's say again, a man dies, he leaves behind offspring or Yoresh, and ultimately, again, the Yoresh goes ahead and does smicha. When he brings the carbon, this is actually interesting halacha in general, that if a man dies, leaves behind carbonos that have not been offered, his son offers up those carbonos on his behalf. Now, the truth is there are certain exceptions to that rule as well, certain carbonos which cannot be offered up on the part of Yoreshim or by Yoreshim on the part of the deceased father. But in this particular circumstance, the Yoresh offers it up, and he does smicha. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Chanina, Tani Rav Chananya, Kamei Durava, Yoresh eino somech. So Rav Chananya taught before Rava. No, a Yoresh does not do smicha. So the Gemara says, Yoresh eino meimar. And furthermore, again, a Yoresh cannot affect Tmura. So remember again, Mishnah grouped these two concepts together. Mishnah told me that a Yoresh does smicha on the carbon of his deceased father. And a Yoresh also has the ability to affect Tmura. What's Tmura? When you go out and you swap out one animal for the other, you exchange. So what's Taloch if you do Tmura? V'hayahu u'smura so kodesh l'Hashem. Both the original animal as well as the replacement animal both become kadosh. So the Gemara says, so Rav Chananya is before Rava, that a Yoresh does not do smicha, and a Yoresh cannot affect Tmura. Says the Gemara, but 1 second, v'hanan t'nan, hayoresh somech, u'meibi es nesachav, u'meimar. But we said, 1 second, the Mishnah says that a Yoresh does go ahead and do smicha, and a Yoresh can affect Tmura. So Amrale Ibchai. So he said to him, what should I do? Should I change around the Brisa? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? In other words, I understand what the Mishnah says, but I'm also telling you what the Brisa says. Amrale Lo. So he says, no, you don't have to change around anything. Rather what? Masnisin money. Rabbi will say, whose opinion is reflected in the Brisa? Rabbi Huda. So it turns out that we have a machlokes. This sign you learned in a Brisa. Yoresh Somech, Yoresh Meimar. So we'll say again, the Tanakama, the Rabbanan say, that a Yoresh does smicha on the carbon of his deceased father. A Yoresh has the ability to affect Tmura. Rabbi Huda Omer, Yoresh Eino Somech, Yoresh Eino Meimar. Rabbi Huda says, no, a Yoresh does not do smicha, and a Yoresh cannot affect Tmura. Oh, Shabbos say, see here you have it. Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa, the Gemara says over here, this is, so it turns out it's a machlokes. Our Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanon, and the Brisa reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. The Rabbanon say, a Yoresh does smicha, a Yoresh can affect Tmura. Rabbi Huda says a Yoresh does not do smicha. A Yoresh cannot affect Tmura. Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Huda. Where does Rabbi Huda get this from? What's Rabbi Huda's logic? That a Yoresh does not do smicha. That a Yoresh does not affect Tmura. To which the Gemara says, Karbano, below Karban Aviv. Also the Pasuk by Smicha says, Karbano, his Karban. We dash it from that what? It's only the owner of the Karban who does smicha, and not the Yoresh. Below carbon aviv. You don't do smicha if the carbon belonged to your father. The Yalif, Chilas Hagdish, Misof Hagdish. I will say this is very interesting. And we learn out the beginning of the consecrated process from the end of the consecrated process. Now, I will say in this context, Tchilas Hagdish and Sof Hagdish mean as follows. Tchilas Hagdish is a reference to Tmura, because Tmura is something that is done at the beginning of the consecration process, versus Sof Hekdesh, which refers to Smicha. Because as we're going to see at the end of today's daf, Smicha is the last thing you do before what? We already saw this actually in the Mishnah. Smicha is the last thing you do before Shechita. So look, it says the Gemara, Masof Hekdesh, Yoresh Eino Somech. This is Rabbi Huda's model. Just like Sof Hekdesh, ultimately, again, Rabbi Huda's model, the Yoresh does not do Smicha. Avtchilas Hekdish, so to again, in the beginning of Hekdish, Yorish Eino Meimor. A Yorish cannot affect Temura. But we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, V'yolev Tchilas Hekdish, it's in the more narrow lines, like right, like punct in the middle. Right across from Tosos Lerabos Kol, you see that? Tosos Lerabos Kol is in the left-hand column. Gomamish straight across. Straight. Right to Rashi, you'll see. V'yolev Tchilas Hekdish, Tainu Temura. So ultimately, again, so Tchilas Hekdish, that's called Temura. Why is Temura called the beginning of Hekdish? So the Gemara says, Ahinu Temura Shemakdisha Tchila. So also because, remember, again, the case of Temura, Bosei, is where you are going ahead and being Makdish an animal. So remember, I have animal A set aside for a carbon, and then I decide I want to do A, I want to use B. So Makdish B. They call that Tchilas Hekdish. That's the beginning. Versus Smicha, which is Sof Hekdish. But the Rabbanon will say, Hamer Yamir. The Rabbanon will say that the five Temura, Torah uses the double lashon of Hamer Yamir. Lerabos Aseyor. So we'll say that's a double lashon. You don't need that redundancy. So what does it come? So we'll say, presumably, if there's a redundancy, it's coming to teach me something additional. What is it coming to teach me? Lerabos Aseyorish. Ultimately, coming to teach me that what? That a Yoresh, that inheritor, has the ability to affect Temura. So we'll say what that means is, again, we'll call Yaakov dies, leaves behind the sacrificial animal. Reuven, his son, comes along and decides, you know what? I don't like dad's animal. I'm going to offer up dad's carbon, but I don't want to use that animal. I want to use a different animal. So therefore, again, according to the Rabbanon, so we'll call him Reuven, the son, has the ability to affect Temura. And therefore, the original animal, which the father consecrated, the replacement animal, which Reuven consecrated, both become Kodesh. Where does the Lera from? Hamer Yomer, the double Lashon. The Rabbo says, Ayoresh, V'yolif, Sof Hekdish, Mitchilas Hekdish. Rabbo says, in the Rabbanon's model, they learn out the end of Hekdish, i.e. Smicha, from Tchilas Hekdish, i.e. Temura. Matchilas Hekdish, Yoresh Meimar. We'll say, just like in the beginning of Hekdish, a Yoresh has the ability to affect Temura. Av Sof Hekdish, Yoresh Somech. So we'll say, therefore, again, essentially, we're learning out Smicha from Temura, just like a Yoresh has the ability to go ahead and affect Temura, so too he has the obligation, ultimately, again, to do Smicha. But we'll say, you'll see this, so what's the connection between Smicha and Temura? Because in the eyes of the Gemara, they're the bookends of the consecrated process. Temura is the beginning of the consecration process, whereby you are consecrating a new replacement animal, and Smicha is the end of the consecration process, for it is the last thing you do immediately prior to Shechita. So essentially, I will say, they're linked. The interesting part is, it's just the Shaila, which way you're going to learn, which direction you're going to learn the Limud. So I will say, so ultimately, again, what we come away with is, Imachlok is between Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda going ahead and saying, that halacha lamaisa a yoresh does not go ahead and do smicha, a yoresh does not go ahead and affect temura. The Rabbanon saying a yoresh does do smicha, and a yoresh does have the ability to affect temura, and a yoresh does do smicha. That's the fundamental machlokes. Mishnah reflecting the view of the Rabbanon, Brisa reflecting the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara of Rabbanon, Hamer Yomir, Lerabos Esayoresh. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. So the Rabbanon, they understand Hamer Yomir to ultimately, again, go ahead and be Marbet the Yoresh. That Allah Chalamaisa Yoresh has the ability to affect Temura. The Yolif Sof Hekdish, Mitchilas Hekdish. I just read this before. V'Rabbanon, I'm sorry, skip down, but we'll say, V'Rabbanon, Hai Krabbanon my Abdile. So we'll say, what did the Rabbanon use the phrase of carbono? Because remember, again, Rabbi Yehuda uses carbono to teach me what? Rabbi Yehuda uses carbono to teach me that it's only the owner of the carbon, the original owner of the carbon, who does smicha, and the yoresh does not. The Rabbanon who hold that even a yoresh does smicha. So what do they do with carbono? My abdilei, carbono, v'lo carbon ovid kochavim. Teaches me, Rabbosai, that the din of smicha is dafka din by a Yiddish carbon, right? Only by a Jewish carbon. But an Ovid Kochavim who goes there and brings a carbon. So also remember again, we spoke about this before, a non-Jew has the ability to go ahead and bring a carbon, but there is no din of smicha. V'lo carbon Ovid Kochavim, carbon O, v'lo carbon Chaveira. Furthermore, you can only do smicha on your own carbon and not on your friend's carbon. V'lo carbon Chaveira, carbon O, the rabbos call Baalei carbon l'smicha. And the word carbon O comes to teach you that anyone who is bringing a carbon ultimately again has a din of smicha. But Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbi is called Baali Karban Smicha, Lesley. So we'll say Rabbi Yehuda apparently does not have this drasha to be marbe called Baali Karban. He doesn't have a pasuk to teach me that in general anyone who's bringing a karban has a chiyuv of smicha. Vinam, the other possibility is Islay. He does have a drasha to teach me called Baali Karban, but rather again says the Gemara, Vinami Islay. Because it could be that Rabbi Yehuda's model, he doubles up on the drushas, and he learns out the exclusion of Ovid Kochavim and Chavero from one pasuk. That one drusha for Ovid Chaver, Ovid Kochavim and Chavero, in other words, I can't do smicha. When Ovid Kochavim doesn't do smicha, I don't do smicha on my friend's karban, and he's learning that both from one drusha. If that's the case, therefore, I will say there will be two drushas, there will be two psukim that will be left. Chad carbon ov, low carbon ov. I will say one comes to teach me that you can only do smicha on your own carbon, but not on your father's carbon. The idach lerambos call baali carbon lesmicha. And one teaches me a more general obligation for all baali carbon to do smicha. Rabbi Huda, hi, hamer yomir my abdile. So, I will say, remember again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you cannot, that a Yoresh cannot make his father's carbon tamura, or say it differently. He cannot go ahead and affect tamura with his father's carbon. The Rabbanan Darshan that you can, and they learn it out from the double lashon of Hamer Yomir. So Hamer Yomir is a redundancy. The redundancy is teaching me that I can go ahead and make someone, there's an additional case of tamura. What's the additional case of tamura? That if a person's father passes away, the child inherits his father's sacrificial animal, that he could affect tamura even with his father's sacrificial animals. Rabbi Yehuda, who does not subscribe to that drasha, what does he do with Hamer Yomir? My Abulei, oh, mi bayle l'rabos es ha'isha. Bosei comes to include the case of a woman, that a woman could affect tamura as well. So the Gemara says, this sanya, because watch this, says the Gemara, this sanya, lefisha kala inyon kula inu madabra ela b'lashon zocher. See, Bosei, the whole parsha of tamura is phrased b'lashon zocher. It's all phrased in the masculine. Ma sofeinu l'rabos es ha'isha. How do we know to include that even a woman has the ability to affect tamura? And I will say, obviously, tamura is not a good thing. But how do we know that ultimately, again, if a woman did affect tamura, that halacha lamaisa, again, it works. Talmud lomar, therefore the pasuk says, hamer yomir. Pasuk says, ultimately, that what? Hamer yomir, a double lashon. A double lashon, therefore, Bosei Rabbi Yehuda's model. So hamer yomir, does it come to include a yoresh? Who does it come to include? It actually comes to include an isha, that a woman has the ability to affect tamura as well. Rabbanon darshi mevim. Now, Bosei, it's actually one of these very interesting situations where everyone agrees that a woman could affect tamura. If a woman set aside a karban, right? She has the ability to affect tamura. She decides, I don't want to bring karban A, I want to bring karban B. Both are consecrated. Now, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon both agree to that concept. Their machlokas is the drasha. The Rabbanon are going to learn after Hamer Yomir. Excuse me. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from Hamer Yomir. V'rabbanon darshi mi ve'im. So we'll say, the Rabbanon, on the other hand, they darsh in the pasuk of ve'im. Ve'im Hamer Yomir. They both say, now, ve'im, the va, the ve'im, is an additional letter. So we'll say, very often we see that we darshin vavs, because vavs often come to include additional things. So the Rabbanon darshin from Ve'im. Ve'im teaches me that there's someone else who's included in the parashah of Tamura. Who's the someone else who's included in the parashah of Tamura? Women. That a woman can affect Tamura as well. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'im lo darish. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshin vavs. He doesn't darshin this Ve'im. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda learn from Vahamer Yamer. So bottom line, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon will both agree that halacha lemaisa, women are included in the parashah of Tamura. What's their machlokes? Their machlokes ultimately is about the case of a yoresh. Does a yoresh, does a child, a son who inherits his father, does he have the ability to go ahead and affect tamura with his father's sacrificial animal? Does he go ahead and have an obligation of smicha on his father's sacrificial animal? Rabbi Huda saying no. The Rabbanon saying yes. So we'll say, how do we paskin? The Rabbanon paskins like the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. Namely that halacha lemaisa, again, a yoresh does in fact go ahead and do smicha on his father's karban, and a yoresh does have the ability to affect tamura on his father's karban as well. So halacha lemaisa, we paskin like the Rabbanon in our Mishnah. Good. Mishnah. Again, I told you, this is a beautiful Gemara. It flows nicely. You get some pleasant, very pleasant. It's like a, it's just pleasant. It's just pleasant. It's just nice. So Mishnah, Hakol Somchin. So you know what the beauty of sugyas like this is? Not everything has to be complicated, right? There doesn't have to be a lumdus in everything. Sometimes you just go through a Gemara, you get a Rambam, you get a Halacha L'Maisa, and you just move forward. It's nice. There's resolution. Good. Says the Mishnah. Hakol Somchin. So Mishnah says, everyone does smicha. This is actually a great Mishnah. Hakol Somchin. Chutz mecheri shota v'katan suma obi kocham v'eved ashliach v'aisha. Suppose I say, everyone does smicha except what? Except this list of 27 people. Right? Everyone, Hakol Somchin. Everyone does smicha. Everyone does smicha, except from a cheresh. Bos a cheresh is the deaf mute. Shota is the person who is insane. Katan is the minor. Suma, someone who is blind. Obed kochavim and of anakum. Eved, a slave. Shaliach, a servant or an emissary, a messenger. And a isha, and a woman. So Bos say, so these are all the people who do not go ahead and do smicha. We'll discuss why this is. So what I say, interestingly enough, the Mishnah tells me, obviously when we say Hakol Somchin means the majority of people, when bringing a karban, do in fact go ahead and do smicha. But Halacha L'maaseh said there is this list of people who do not. Says the Gemara, Usmicha Shiyari Mitzvah. What's another important statement? Smicha is the shirayim of the mitzvah. What does that mean, shirayim? It's almost say, if you look at Rashi Kisveyad, which is Rashi, the bottom section of Rashi, it's the first Rashi in the Mishnah there, usmicha shirayim mitzvah, de'enu ma'akev kapara. Rabbi say, what that means is that smicha is important, but it's not an indispensable part of the sacrificial service. Namely, that if you went ahead and you neglected to do smicha, your kapara is still good. Your karban is still valid. So we'll say it's a very, very important statement. That even though, again, smicha is part of the karbanic process, if you left it out, it is not ma'akev kapara. So where goes weiter. Ala rosh, so we'll say, how do you do smicha? You place your hands on the head of the animal. Bebez yadayim, you use two hands. Ubemakom shesomchin shochtin. And I will say, the place where you do smicha, that's where you shecht. Now we're going to discuss what that statement means. That's actually not a statement about the animal. That's a statement about the geographic location of where smicha takes place. Because why the takeif l'smicha shchita? Because Rebbe says shchita is done immediately following shchita. I'm sorry. Shchita is done immediately following smicha. So Rebbe says, so therefore, three important halachas. Number one, everyone does smicha, except for this list where of people who don't. Number two, smicha is important, but it's called shiyari hamitzvah, which means if you left it out, the karban, if you neglected to do it, the karban is still good. Number three, smicha is done on the hand, on the head of the animal, with two hands. Smicha is done. B'makom shochtin, smicha is done in the very place where shchita takes place. And tekef l'smicha shchita. Shchita must be done immediately following smicha. Good, says the Gemara. Here we go. So we'll say now, first we're going to tackle the list of people who don't do smicha. So Bishlama Khede Shota the Khatan Dala Bene Dinin. So we'll say, I understand the classic three who are grouped together, the Kheresh, Shota, the Khatan. We'll say those are all people who are assumed to lack mental capacity. So I understand why they're not going to do smicha, because smicha is a din in das. If you don't have das, then of course you're not going to do smicha. Fine. Ovid kochavim nami. I also understand why in Akum doesn't do smicha. Why? Because b'nei Yisrael somchin vein ovdei kochavim somchin. Because Rebbe say, remember again, the pasuk ultimately again by smicha itself, dabra al b'nei Yisrael v'marta v'alei adam kakar mikem kavar la'Hashem. Faisa, I will say it's dabra al b'nei Yisrael. So it's dafka Jews who do smicha, and Akum does not do smicha. Ela suma my time alor. Rebbe say, interestingly enough, in this list was a blind person. Why doesn't the blind person do smicha? So Rav Chister v'Yitzchak bar Avdimi chad amar asya smicha smicha mizikne eda. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so we have machlokes. One says because he make a gzera shava of smicha smicha from zikne eda. The Rabbi say now, if you look at the top section of Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, asya smicha l'chol karban mismicha de zikne eda de par ha'elam davar shal tzibor. Supposed to listen to this. So one opinion says you make a gzir shav of smicha smicha to par ha'elam davar shel tzibor. So let's remember again from our hardest days. What's a par ha'elam davar shel tzibor? Where ultimately, again, you have the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous ruling. So the halacha is that in the case where the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous ruling and Klal Yisrael acts on that ruling, so the Sanhedrin has to bring a par ha'elam davar shel tzibor. The Sanhedrin does smicha on that karban. Both say the halacha is the Sanhedrin, no member of the Sanhedrin can be blind. In fact, Tosfos points out to Rabbi Yossi, it's not just blindness. By the members of the Sanhedrin, you cannot have a mum and be in the Sanhedrin. It's actually the halacha. We learned that in Harius. So one opinion says, we make a gzereshava of smicha to the members of the Sanhedrin. Just like the members of the Sanhedrin, when doing smicha on the paralim davish al tzibor, cannot be blind, so too, again, I will say, in general, for the din of smicha, a person who is blind has no din of smicha. So if you're blind, you don't do smicha. Again, just learn that from literally from the gzer shav of smicha. V'chad amar, asya smicha me'olas ri'iya. We'll say the other opinion says that halach l'maisa, what we do is we learn it out from the gzer shav of smicha, from olas ri'iya. We'll say, so what's olas ri'iya? Olas ri'iya is the ola that you go ahead and you bring when you're ola regel. Now, I'll both say, what's talacha? A blind person does not bring an olas ri'iya. Why not? Because he can't see, right? Because ultimately, again, olas ri'iya, both say, is an ola that is dafka brought for ri'iyas p'nei habayis, when you're able to see the Beis HaMikdash. So halacha l'maaseh, if you do not see, you cannot bring the olas ri'iya. So make a gzer sheva between the smicha for an olas ri'iya and smicha for general karbanos, just like a blind person doesn't go ahead and do smicha on an olas ri'iya because he doesn't bring an olas ri'iya, so too he will not do smicha on any other karban as well. So again, I just want to point out another one of these situations where no one's disputing the halacha that a blind person does not do smicha. What they're just debating is what? Is where this halacha is learned out from. Is it a gzera sheva of smicha from hapar ha'elam davar shel tzibor, from the Sanhedrin, just as the members of the Sanhedrin are not blind, so do anyone who does smicha cannot be blind? Or is it a gzera sheva ultimately from olas ri'iya? Just like a blind person doesn't do smicha by olas ri'iya, so too ultimately, again, he does not do smicha by any other carbon as well. Ulaman darmi olas ri'iya. We'll say last line, tzadikim lo adalif. And according to the opinion, learns that from olas ri'iya, my time lo yolef mizikne eda. So we'll say, according to the opinion, learns it out from olas ri'iya. Why doesn't he learn it out ultimately again from what? From zikne eda. Why doesn't he learn it out from the Sanhedrin? Amadeus, very simple. Donin yachid mi yachid ve'in donin yachid mi tzibon. We'll say for one very simple reason. We'd rather learn out the halachos concerning a carbon yachid from another case of carbon yachid, and not learn out carbon yachid from carbon tzibor. So we'll say, so remember again, the case of par ha'elam davar shel tzibor is what? Is a carbon tzibor. Versus olas ri'iya, which is what? Which is a carbon yachid. So therefore, when we're coming over here in our Mishnah to learn out the halachos regarding smicha by a carbon yachid, we'd much rather learn out the halachos and smicha from a carbon yachid from olas ri'iya, which is a carbon yachid, and not from par ha'elam davar shel tzibor, which is a carbon tzibor. Who learns it out from Zikne Eda? Why doesn't he learn it out from Olas Ri'iya? Very simply, Donin Midi Dichsiv Beismicha Begufei, Mi Midi Dichsiv Beismicha Begufei. Because we would rather learn out the halachos ultimately again from Smicha, from something which is written explicitly in the Pasuk. We rather learn it out from a case where smicha is written explicitly in the pasuk, and not la fuge olas ri'iya. So let's listen to this. There is no discussion or explicit discussion of smicha in the case of olas ri'iya. Why? Because we'll say the din of smicha by olas ri'iya dehi gufei me olas nedava gamra. Now we'll say here's what's interesting. We know that we do smicha by an olas ri'iya, but ultimately, again, it's not stated explicitly in the pasuk by olas ri'iya. Instead, we learn out the fact that you do smicha by an olas ri'iya from where? From olas nedava. Essentially, again, I will say there's a gzera shava from olas ri'iya to olas nedava. Just like olas nedava has smicha, so too olas ri'iya has smicha. But smicha itself is never written explicitly in the context of olas ri'iya. Masha'in came by par ha'alam davar shel tzibor, ultimately what? Smicha is written explicitly in there. Therefore, Bosei, this other opinion says, we'd rather learn out smicha from a situation where smicha is written explicitly, and not learn out smicha from a case where smicha is not written explicitly. So therefore, we'd rather learn out the halachos of smicha from par ha'elam davar shel tzibor, where it's written explicitly, and not from olas fia, where it's learned from gzirah shava, from olas nedava. The tani kamei rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, vayakiv es ha'ola vayaseh kemishpat, kemishpat olas nedava. Because the Bosei, the pasuk says, you shall offer up the ola, do it in accordance with his laws. Which laws? In accordance with the laws of olas nedava. Limeid al olas chova shetu nesmicha. Bosei, that's what we learn out. We learn out the laws of olas chova, an obligatory ola that requires smicha, from the case of olas nedava. So Bosei, so essentially what you see over here is just a tension. The good news is, let's start with good news. Baruch Hashem, there's shalom. Everyone agrees that what? That a blind person does not do smicha. Good. So everyone's agreeing on that. What's the machlokis, Rabosai? The machlokis just is, where do you want to learn it out from? And here's the tension. I can learn it out from par ha'elam davar shel tzibor, from the fact that the Sanhedrin does smicha on this communal sin offering. And just as the members of the Sanhedrin can't be blind, right? So to be clear from there, that in general, when doing smicha, it doesn't apply to a person who is blind. Or, I can learn from olas ri'ya. Just like there's smicha on olas ri'ya, and you only bring an olas ri'ya if what? If you're able to see. So to be clear from there, halacha l'maisa, you only do smicha if you have the gift of sight. So again, just attention. Would we rather learn out from a communal offering, or would we rather learn out from an individual offering versus a communal offering? Would we rather learn out from a place where smicha is stated explicitly, as opposed to smicha is learned out from? So that's the tension in the drushas. So there's a machlokes, which drushas we prefer. But the bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, will be the same, which is, someone who is blind does not do smicha, and that is indeed how the Rambam paskins. Next. Va'eved va'shliach va'isha. What's that going down the list? Who else doesn't do smicha? An eved is a slave, right? A shaliach is an agent, right? An agent, and an isha, a messenger, and an isha, a woman. So let's say, here we go. Tan rabbanon, yado v'lo yad abdo. So let's say, so the pasuk says, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola. So let's say, so remember again, this is smicha. V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola. You will place your hands on the head of the ola. So what do we dash in from there? Yado v'lo yad abdo. It's tafka, your hand, and not the hand of your eved. Yado v'lo yad shlucho, your hand and not the hand of your shaliach. Yado v'lo yad ishto, your hand and not your wife's hand. So we'll say, so we dash the fact that the Torah goes in and phrases it in the possessive. Yado, it's your hand, comes to exclude these three cases. Your hand, not the hand of your eved. Your hand, not the hand of your shaliach. Your hand, not the hand of your isha. To which the Gemara says, kol hani lamali. So we'll say, why do I need to dash in all three of these cases? Right? Why do I need all three of these cases? In other words, had I just said one of these cases, would that not have sufficed to teach me that what? That it's only the hand of the owner and not anyone else's hand. Right? So I'll say, you heard the Gemara's asking. In other words, the bottom line is, it is only the Baal HaKarban who could do smicha. So if that's the case, why do I need all of these drashos? I'll tell you why. To which the Gemara says, smicha. I'll tell you why I need them. D'i kasev rachmana. Ikaz of Rachmana chad, because we'll say, had the Torah only told me one exclusion, hava amina lemi'ute eved. So we'll say, I would have assumed if there was only going to be one person excluded from the obligation of, or from the possibility of doing smicha, I would have thought it's an eved. We'll say, remember again, every week about an eved, what type of eved are we referring to? Eved kinani. It's very important. So therefore again, I would have said, of course an eved can't do smicha. Why? The lav bar mitzvahs. Because Rabbi says he's not obligated in mitzvahs. Now, of course, an eved is obligated partially in mitzvahs. He's obligated in like not any non-mitzvahs, as a shazman grama, like an isha. So we'll say, so I would have thought it's coming to include an eved, but an eved is still always considered to be not in the parsha of mitzvahs. Avashliach, the bar mitzvah, Rabbi says, if I appoint an agent to do smicha, my agent is a fellow Jew. He's a bar mitzvah. Furthermore, ushlucha shal adam kimoso. And both in general, in every other place in halacha, we assume that what? That if I appoint a shaliach, that shaliach is an extension of me. It's an extension of me. Therefore, ema l'smoch, I would have thought that what? that a shaliach does have the ability to do smicha. V'yashmo inon hanitarti, and I will say, so if what it just said, eved and shaliach, dilav kigufei damyo, because we'll say at the end of the day, an eved and my shaliach, as much as they might be an extension of me, they're not me, aval ishto, the kigufei dami. Rabbi said, generally we have the concept that what? Ishto kigufo, that literally again a person's wife is like himself. So I thought she could for sure do smicha for me. Ema tismoch, I would have thought ultimately again she could do smicha. Rabbi said, therefore the halacha teaches me she cannot, therefore smicha. Rabbi said, now I understand why I need to dash in all three cases. I need to dash in the case of eved, shaliach, and isha, because halacha lemaisa again, I would not necessarily have learned that one from the other. And Rabbi said again, this again is halacha lemaisa, that my shaliach, my wife, and my eved cannot do smicha on my karban, on my behalf. So the Gemara goes weiter. Smicha shiari mitzvah. So we'll say furthermore, again, the Mishnah said that as important as smicha is shirayim. It's shirayim, right? Which means what Rabbi Osai? In other words, it's important, but what? But what? If you neglected to do it, it's not ma'akib. If you neglect to do it, the carbon is still kosher. Tan Rabban, I will say, here we go. V'samach v'nirtza. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, you shall do smicha v'nirtza. V'samach yado arosh ha'olav v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. Rabosai, what that sounds like is what? What that sounds like is, it's the smicha, v'chi smicha mechaperes. Now, what that sounds like, Rabosai, from the Pasuk is, that it's the smicha which affects kapara. So that's the Gemara, v'chi smicha mechaperes. Is it the smicha on the animal which affects kapara? Absolutely not. V'alo in kapara ela bedam. Rabosai, generally we assume that when does smicha occur? Smicha occurs ultimately again with the sprinkling of the blood. Shenemar. Ki adam hu benefesh yichaper. So what does it come to teach me? Elo lomer lecha, she'im asa'a l'smicha shiari mitzvah. There was what it comes to teach me is, if you made the smicha like the shirayim. So what's really mean, the smicha like the shirayim? If you made the smicha unimportant, you left it over, you didn't do it, ma'ala alav akasuv kilu lo kiper v'chiper. The Torah teaches it as if you affected, you didn't affect kapara, but you did affect kapara. We'll say, what does that mean? Ki'ilu lo kiper v'chiper. We'll say, what does that mean? See, interestingly enough, what that means is, it's as if you did kapara, but you didn't do kapara. We'll say, which is another way of saying, look at Rashi, kisvayan on the bottom. Sherei mitzvah shalo samach, ki'ilu lo kiper mina muvchar, v'kiper kapara koldu d'chiper v'adam. So we'll listen to this. So the chiper v'lochiper means, you did the karban, but it's not the chatchila. Right? You yotze, even though you didn't do smicha, but it's not the mitzvah lechatchila. The mitzvah lechatchila, Rabbi Osai, is do smicha, but if you didn't do smicha, your carbon is still kosher. V'tanya gabe tenufa ki agavna, and Rabbi Osai, you have a similar brisa by tenufa. Rabbi Osai, what does tenufa refer to? Tenufa refers to certain kavanas which require a waving of the thigh and the chest of the animal. So watch this. So the Gemara says, v'tanya gabe tenufa ki agavna litenufa lechaper. Rabbi Osai, by the waving of sacrificial parts, it uses a similar lashon of litnufa lechaper. You'll wave it to affect kapara. V'chi tnufa mechaperes. Rabbi Osai, is it the tnufa? Is it the waving of the sacrificial parts which affects kapara? V'alo in kapara ela b'dam. Rabbi Osai, it's not the waving of sacrificial parts which affects kapara. Kapara is only affected how? With the application of the blood. Shene'emar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper. So why does the Torah seem to indicate that kapara is affected through the tenufa? Elomar l'cho, shemasa l'tenufa shiari mitzvah. Rather, it teaches us what Rabbi Osai, that if you made the tenufa, the waving, like the sharm, like the leftovers, i.e. you didn't do tenufa, ma'ala l'avakosov kilo l'chiper l'chiper. Torah treats it as if what? As if you did kapara, but you didn't do kapara. Now, as Rabbi Osai, that halacha l'maisa, although you really are obligated to do tenufa, but if you did not go out and do tenufa, it's a kapara, keeper, below keeper, which means you've affected kapara as long as you did the blood application, but it's not lechatchila. Good. So Rabbi Osai, so bottom line, halacha l'maisa, that ultimately, again, smicha is an important part of the sacrificial process, but if you did not do smicha, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? You're yotzei, but not lechatchila. Good. You got the job done, but not in the best way possible. Good. Weiter. Alarosh. Rabbi Osai, next. Where do you do smicha? You put your hands on the head of the animal. So watch this. Ten rabbanon yado al harosh. Yadav al harosh. Right? The pasuk says, v'samach yado. I'm sorry. Yado al harosh ha'ola. You place your hands on the head. Below yado al tzavar. And we'll say you can't do smicha by putting your hands on the neck of the animal. Yado ala rosh, the pasuk says you shall put your hands on the head of the animal, below ala gabayim, but not on the back of the animal. Yado ala rosh, below yado ala chazer. You put your hands on the head of the animal, but don't put your hands on the chest of the animal. So we'll say, the Gemara says, okay, why do I need all the drushes? So we'll say, so bottom line, why don't you just say what? I put my hands on the head of the animal. That's it. Why? Head on the hand and not on the neck. Head on the hand and not on the back. Head on the hand and not on the chest. Okay, I got it. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because of Rachmana Chad, Lemi'ute Tzavar, because I will say, had the Torah just said one exclusionary phrase, I would have thought that's what it's coming to exclude the neck. Why I will say that you can't place your hands on the neck of the animal. Why the neck? Because this is actually interesting. The neck is not on the same horizontal level as the head. So you will say, obviously the neck is vertical. So I might have thought the problem over here with placing, we're doing smicha on the neck, is I have to place my hands on something like the head. Maybe the head doesn't mean the head. Maybe the head just means what? Something horizontal on the animal. Mashenkin, if I place my head on the neck, that's vertical on the animal, that's not good. About gabo, the koi lahadirosho, imolo. But I will say, if I went ahead and I placed my hands on the back of the animal, which is horizontal like the head, maybe it should work. Therefore, tzicha. Therefore, I need one drasha to teach me, that you can't even place your hands on the horizontal back of the animal. V'yashmina hanitarti. And if it would have just taught me head and back, right? Ultimately, hanitarti mishum dolo israbi letenufa. Because we'll say at the end of the day, there's not tenufa done with these parts. Aval chazei, the israbi letenufa, emalo. But we'll say, maybe again, the chest of the animal, which is used in a sacrificial process. We'll say, what do you use the chest for? I use the chest for tenufa. So maybe I say, once I use the chest for tenufa, then what? It should also be usable for Trabosai, for smicha, therefore tzvicha. Therefore, Bosai has to teach me that note, that halacha lemaisa, smicha is only done on the head, and that is it. Iboy lohu. We'll say, now I ask kash on us. Now that we've established that smicha is only done on the head, Yado ala tzadin ma'arav. So again, smicha is done by placing your hands on the top of the head of the animal. What happens if instead of placing your hands on the top of the animal, what did you do? You placed your hands on the side of the head of the animal. What's the halacha in that case? Mao tashma. So let's analyze this. We have a brisa that teaches this. Desanyo, Abba b'yirab Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Yado ala rosh. The halacha is you have to place your hand on the top of the head of the animal, below yado ala tzdodin. And I will say, not on the sides of the head of the animal. So smicha means, I place my hands dafka, on the top of the head of the animal. As well, it's a good kasha. Meaning when we say you do smicha on the head, what does on the head mean? Does on the head where it mean anywhere on the head, even on the side? No, kamashlon. On the head means on top of the head of the animal. Below yado ala tzdodin. Next case. By Rabbi Yirmiya, matlis. Mahushatachu. So we'll say, what happens if halacha lemaisa? Matlis literally means a cloth. What happens if halacha lemaisa? I have a cloth on top of the head of the animal. I'm a little bit of a mifunak, right? I'm not, right? I'm a germaphobe, right? I don't want to put my hands on the head of the animal. So what I do, I place a nice little Shmata, but not shmata. Chas shalom. It's like l'shem kedushas karban, right? It's embroidered. It's velvet. It's velvet. It's pleather, right? I go ahead. I put it on top. It's nice. I bought it together with my tefillin sweater and my Shabbos lamp, right? You know, it comes as a package deal, right? And so I go ahead and I put it on top of the head. So what's talach b'osem? Ma'usha tachos. Toshmo, Shabbos, so the Gemara says, come on, give me something a little bit harder. This is explicit. Bilvad, shalote davar chotzeis beino lebein azarach. The Bosei, the halacha with smicha is, there could be nothing interposing between my hands and the head of the covenant. So the Bosei, halacha lemaisa, it has to be on top of the head of the animal, and they have to be touching the head of the animal itself. There could be no chatzitza, nothing interposing between me and the head of the animal. Next. Ubishtayra, we'll say another interesting halacha. Furthermore, again, you have to use two hands. Two hands on the carbon at all times. Right? Suppose say, so what's the halacha of two hands? Minahani mili. Where do we know this? So suppose it's actually very interesting. Minahani mili. Amar Eish Lakish, Damar Krak, because the pasuk says, V'samach Aaron Eshtei Yadav. So we'll say, something very interesting over here happens. Pasuk that Aaron will place his two hands, Samach Aaron Eshtei Yadav, Al Rosh HaSoyer. So Aaron places his two hands on the animal. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. Ksiv Yado, Uksiv Shtei. Now we'll say, now what's interesting by the way is, okay, so we know our Masorah is that we vocalize this as Shtei Yadav. But I will say, if you look at the pasuk, it's written what? Yud Dalid Vav. Which looks like what? Yado. Yado is singular, his hand. So I'll say, now watch this. Now, Ksiv Yado, it says his hand, which sounds singular. Uksiv Shtei. But it says two. So I will say, now watch this. Zeb Bana'av. So this is what's called the Binyan Av. Binyan Av means a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Kamakum Shene'emar Yado, Hare Kan Shtayim. What this means, Reish Lakish is saying something very interesting, which is, anytime the Torah says, Yado, Yado always means two. Yado always means two. So we're creating a paradigm over here. The Samach Aaron Shtei Yadav, but it's written Yado. The teaching of Bosei, that's what? Anywhere you find the word Yado, Yado always means two. Now, Bosei, now why is this important? Because what did we learn before? We learned the pasuk by Smicha is, V'samach Yado al Rosh HaOlah. So Bosei, even though it says Yado singular, we now learn from Aaron that what? The Binyan Av means what? Yado means what? Bosei means what? Two hands. Two hands. Now watch this, Bosei. This is amazing. Until, unless of course the Torah goes out of say to tell you that it's only one hand. Now watch this. Bosei, here, remember I promised you a Maisa? Here's your Maisa. Like I said, it's a Mais. It's just not a whole Maisa. It's just like a shtickle Maisa. So listen to this. Rabbi Elazar went ahead and he gave over to this drush in the base medrash. But he did not, he failed to provide proper attribution. So he said over the drasha that the pasuk says, Aaron eshtei yadav al rosh hasayir. It says yadav, but it's but the word is yado. That teaches a binyan av that wherever you find the word yado, ultimately that means two hands. So that even in the pasuk that says v'samach yado, that's a binyan av. You need two hands for smicha. So Rabbi Elazar said this, but he did not give proper attribution to Reish Lakish. So what happens? Shamar Reish Lakish v'ikbid. Reish Lakish was upset. You have to quote teachings. You're supposed to understand, this is not like a covet thing. This is a proper protocol thing. This is that when you're quoting drushas, you have to be careful with attribution for a variety of reasons. Because ultimately, you know, if you have contradictions, you have to know who says what. So Rabbi Elazar was just giving over the drusha, didn't give over proper attribution. So Rabbi Elazar, Reish Lakish gets upset, and what does he do? He goes ahead and he fires off a series of kashas. Amrlei. If you're telling me that every single time it says yado, yado means two hands, lamali lamichtav yadav. So Rabbi Elazar, if yado always means two, then what? Why is there ever a need for the Torah to use the plural lashon of yadav? If yado means two, then why is yadav his hands plural ever necessary? After all, ikshile esrim v'arba yadav. Let's say Reish Lakish brought 24 times in the Torah where the Torah uses the word yadav. Torah dafka uses the word plural. But if yado means two, then why ever the need for yadav? Yadav tivi ena, yadav rav lo, sika las yadav. So we'll say he rattled off example after example after example where the Torah uses the plural lashon of yadav. Says Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar, if you're right, then every single time Torah even says yado, yado always means two. So why ever the need to use yadav? Ishtik. So ultimately, Rabbi Elazar was silenced. Rabbi Elazar, he didn't have an answer to this. Lebasar denach daite. So we'll say, after Reish Lakish calmed down, he said, Amar le. So Reish Lakish said, Rabbi Elazar, you know what you should answer me? Amar le, my time alote mali. What you really should answer me is, my time alote mali. Yadav dismicha ka'amri. You should have said, Rebbe, I'm only talking about the yadav. When I said there's a binyan av, that's whenever you see yado in a context that means two, I don't mean in kala Torah kula. I just mean what? I just mean in the realm of smicha. B'smicha namiksiv, but b'smicha Rabbah say there's still an avikasha. Vayismoch es yadav. Right, Rabbah say ultimately again, it still says by Moshe Benu and Aaron, vayismoch es yadav. There's a plural. Vayitzaveu smicha de behema kamri. The Yish Lakish says no. Rabbah, what you should have said is the binyan av, that whenever you see yado, it means yadav plural bosa is not by kala Torah kula. What does it dafka refer to? Smicha by an animal. So we'll say, what we've just done is, we've just taken the binyan level of the paradigm, and we've just limited it in its application dramatically. That Allah l'maisa, yes, whenever you see the word yadav, yadav means two. Where does yadav mean two, Rabosai? In a very limited context of smichas behima. So Allah l'maisa, even by the smicha of an animal, when it says yadav, singular, we know that Allah l'maisa, it means what? It means yadav, plural. Good. So let's remember again the Mishnah Daraf by saying, and in the place where we do smicha, we do shchita, because immediately following smicha, shchita, Rabbah says, just to finish us off, my kamar, what does this mean to say? Hachik, what does it mean to say? B'makom shesochtin, shesomchin shochtin. Rabbah says, the halacha is, in the place where you do smicha, that is where immediately afterwards you do shchita, shetekif l'smicha shchita. Because Rabbah says, the halacha is, that smicha must immediately be followed by shchita. We'll stop over for today. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.